This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Butch is my gender, and female my sex, and submissive my sexuality, and lesbian how I fall in love, and transmasculine is equally my gender. Trans as in transgressive, illegal, not how most people want a female body to be embodied. I write these things with confidence, but don't ask me to explain. The language has too many sharp corners, and I don't want to back myself into one. And, long ago, making concrete conclusions ceased to be the purpose of thinking about this stuff. I don't like concrete anyway, it deprives us of versatile space. I like fungi. Fungi are everywhere, sometimes invisible, sometimes visible, insistently living and vastly, wildly, unimaginably diverse. They remind me I have a right, we all do, us queers, to be an active participant in biodiversity, not merely a frightened bystander.
Greg, when we went to take your photo, we went into Wilton Bush, and into that reserve, and we were kind of on a hunt for fungi to go with your photo and just to have it as part of your how you wanted to portray yourself. You've mentioned it in your narrative. Could you go into that a little bit more for us?
Sure. I spend a lot of my spare time reading about or thinking about mushrooms and going out into the forest, I guess ostensibly to look for them. Sometimes I just go for walks anyway, but my vision has become quite acutely honed towards looking for mushrooms now. I can spot them at 100 metres. And I associate them with queerness, because I guess we are living in a consumer capitalist world that's heavily focused on homogenizing us and our genders, our sexualities, our culture, trying to package everyone into feminine, female, and like hyper feminine and highly hygienic and sterilized feminine, female bodies, and likewise for male bodies. And I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in biodiversity, and in the fungal kingdom is where I see that the most strongly pronounced. There are 1.5 million species of mushroom, probably. They have definitely more than two of what we would call sexes. They have, I don't know how many, some species have got like five different kinds of mating combinations that are required to produce mushrooms, and sometimes there are multiple parent species that parent a specific one organism of fungus, and they are very persistent. They crop up everywhere. You can put asphalt over them and sometimes a mushroom will still come up through that, and I think that speaks a lot about resistance and insistence and persistence. So I admire them, and I find them very refreshing as well. They're surprising and colourful and good.
So I've known you a little while now, and hearing you speak about fungi like that makes me think of some of the people around you.
That's right. That's right. I am surrounded by exciting mushrooms. Yeah, they like certain species have got some quite queer names as well. There's one called Clitocybe nuda, which is this great purple mushroom. I guess that my husband and wife Shan is quite a rarity and quite colourful. She's got bright pink hair at the moment. She's going to get it cut off soon, but anyway, she could be a mushroom, I suppose, in that kind of exciting and colourful way.
I love it. You talk about Butch being your gender. When did you come to that?
I have a Butch mentor who lives in Sydney. I think she would be happy to have that title of mentor. And she was a friend of my previous partner, and so I've known her for maybe 10 years now. And ever since 18, I was always sure about my sexuality. In fact, more sure about it, I think, than I am now. As a lesbian identified person. But it didn't really cross my mind to think about myself as or think about Butch and Femme very much until this person, we were having a discussion about it, and we sort of said, which I think happens to, like, I've been asked this question subsequently, you know, we said to her as a couple, well, which of us is Butch and which of us is Femme? And she said, well, you're Butch and you're Femme. And that was, I was quite Butch phobic at the time. My father always wanted me not to be, he always wanted me to be more ladylike, constant refrain. So I think my heart sank a little bit, but at the same time, I definitely recognized that it was true. And ever since then, I've been on a journey of becoming far less Butch phobic and, in fact, Butch proud, and kind of shaking off those that yoke of self-hatred, I suppose, that my father put upon me. And yeah, that does that answer the question?
Yeah. How have you gone about finding out, I guess, more about Butch as an identity?
Well, I guess, tribute again to Chris in Sydney, who just simply identifies as Butch and is Butch. And so, you know, looking around, I guess looking in the mainstream media, you don't see a lot of role models. The only people who come to mind for me straight away are the Top Twins. I don't know if they are Butch identified, and Katie Lang, who I know is Butch identified. But I've had to find it within people within my own community, not celebrities, to be role models. And I've loved that process. I would say it's only in recent 3 or 4 years or so that I've started to really actively cultivate friendships with other butchers and butch solidarity. Previously, I guess I just became friends with whoever I became friends with. But it's become more important. And how did I go about it? Just living in our community and, yeah, spending more time in the queer community. And, I don't know, just seeing how choice it is to be butch and how special it is. Is 'cause, yeah, I don't think we're not the majority, maybe. I don't know. Has been good in terms of, looking to find out more about it. Yeah.
What does Butch solidarity mean for you?
Being mates with you, Jack.
I love it.
Yeah, just I think when I was quite a bit younger, say two people meet each other who are both butchers, who both have a bit of butch, like internalized butch phobia in them. My experience of this has been that you sort of look at one another and you go, hi, I hate you, hi, I hate you too. And then that's your interaction with other butchers, full stop. And I see you nodding there, so I'm not alone. And I really have been working to just not, I don't hate other butchers. And I looked wherever I don't see that reflected back to me is I will gravitate towards that and strike up a conversation or, you know, seek to socialise if that's what's on offer. And yeah, what does it mean? What does solidarity mean? Just being mates with and not being hi, I hate you-ish, I think. I wouldn't sort of extend it beyond that with words, because if you use words, you get into too much territory of, I don't know, narrowing it down in some way. Some kind of nice vibe is what I would summarise it as, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the butch femme dynamic, can you tell me how that is in your life?
Yes, and I want to start with a disclaimer that I really am not seeking to render a strong opinion here, because I understand that it antagonizes a lot of people when people are militant about butch and femme. But my own personal experience is that I guess, am naturally attracted to femmes. I wouldn't say I was naturally attracted to other butchers, sexually that is, or erotically. Eros exists between me and femmes fairly often, I think, and I feel comfortable about that. It feels groovy. I think it's been an important thing for me to learn that butch does not exist because femme exists. Like femme doesn't, like femme maybe an opposite, in an opposites attract kind of way or something, but it doesn't give rise to butch. I am butch when I go to the bathroom and clean my teeth, or I'm butch when I go for a walk looking for mushrooms. I'm always butch. I am butch. and I'm in a relationship with someone who is femme, who identifies as femme, who I think identifies as femme when she go to brush her teeth or go to look for mushrooms. So they exist quite independently of one another. And that's just a bit of magical magics. I don't know why for me there's a natural instinctive attraction towards the feminine. Maybe just a yin yang thing. I don't know. Yeah.
Craig, what's your background? What's your family background, and where have you come from?
My father is rural, working class, West Coast, South Island, which is its own, like West Coast is quite particular, quite eccentric, I think. And but was growing up in the early, in the 80s and 90s was quite, what's the word when you try to rise above your class roots or better yourself or something, ambitious, is that the word, or something? So anyway, he never really pulled that off. but I think in consequence he had a lot of shame around various things. And so for me to be not a feminine female was quite shaming to him. And to be a lesbian also is quite shaming to him. But he can get over it. And my mother, I don't really know my mother very well. I did grow up in the same house as her. But that is about all I can say. She came from a middle-class background, and they remain married. They now live in London. They have done since 2002. I mean, I can't say that my mother put a heap of pressure on me to be any one way or another. She didn't give very much guidance at all, and that is okay. It leaves a kind of a vacuum that I've been able to fill myself, which is in some ways better than I think what some people have had from parents. I've been fortunate in being able to make my own way in that way. Yeah. And I was always pinpointed as a tomboy, and always have been butch, and that was hard sometimes in childhood. But here I am, and I think we had some quite Methodist values growing up. We went to Methodist church a little bit, and that means social justice focused. And I think I retain some of that while being definitely agnostic, if not atheist. Mm. Yeah.
So when you left the West Coast, What sort of age were you then, and where did you go?
I was born in Dunedin and raised there, and left Dunedin when I was 30 to move to Wellington. We spent most of our school holidays in Hokitika, is where my father is from, and I feel quite a strong West Coast influence because that's the side of the family that I have most to do with, and there's more of them. So and then moved to Wellington at 30, just after a bit of a life crisis in Dunedin, which was good because it again caused a period of renewal in myself in terms of gaining some self-confidence and self-esteem, including around gender identity stuff. And
And you came to Wellington because you knew people here, or?
No, Dunedin's a very celibate city, and I had broken up from a 10-year relationship, and really it's not only quite a celibate city, it's quite not just butch phobic, but quite queer phobic, quite conservative in many ways. And this, you know, the students, I suppose you'd call them more quite liberal and progressive, but they're also 12 years old or whatever. So I moved to Wellington because Wellington is much more venal than Dunedin, full stop. And queer, it's got a bigger queer community. I wanted community at that point, yeah.
So how long have you been here now?
2 years now. I moved here at the very beginning of 2013.
Yeah. Now, recently you got married.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate and honoured to be at that wedding. Mm-hmm. And I did notice that you actually had family there.
Yes.
Which was nice. Can you talk about that aspect of it, having those folk come along too?
Yeah, yeah. Most of the family who were there were aunties and an uncle and on my father's side, plus my father. And they are the West Coast clan. And I think their direction or their kaupapa in life is to, I think it's fair to say, they will accept you if you are just be yourself and like be yourself hard out. Do not put on airs and graces and don't be affected. That's with an A. And, you know, don't try and be something you're not. And I'm quite strenuously trying not to be something I'm not. Not trying to be something I'm not. Have I got the double negative right there? That thing. I'm very strenuously trying to be myself now and lead a really authentic life. And that has brought me closer to my family in recent years. And I think that they would take up arms to defend me now. A lot of people who were at the wedding said, oh, it was really good of your family to be there. You know, they're obviously sort of rednecks is the implication, but they aren't in practice. And I had my aunt on my mother's side was there, who's an academic, and they feel like academics are just as conservative in their own ways or just as rednecked in their own ways as country people are or can be. You find conservatives in all nooks and crannies. Academics. Yeah.
The wedding itself was pretty special. Are you okay about telling us a little bit about the wedding and how you envisaged it and how it went for you on the day and so on?
Yep. Well, Sian and I have got, I think, quite a lot of shared values, and one of our most important values is being authentic and being expressive. That's two values, and also being free. That's a third value, and so we wanted to, and we love melodrama, so we wanted like a really melodramatic ceremony. And so we did that. We wanted to show all facets of our life together in the wedding. And so, for example, on the cake, we decorated it with drawings of ourselves going through a dark forest with holding torches, looking for one another. And at one end of the cake, we're in a clearing and it's happy and good. And in the other part of the cake, it's like dark and scary. And it's, the reason for that is that relationships are not always in clearings and sunny and good. And sometimes you have dark patches together and rough patches, and you have to pick up the torch and go and look for one another in the forest. And other times you are in a sunny clearing. So we wanted to be real about that, and that it's not always smooth sailing. We wanted to speak passionately about our love for one another in our declarations, which we called clitorations. We didn't want to assimilate and be like heterosexuals in any kind of traditional heterosexual way. We're not interested in that. So we spoke about supporting one another to live our lives fully, and supporting one another through any change or growth that we might need to do in the relationship and within the relationship. Not trying to control one another and buy into the normal patriarchal structural ways of being together. I myself particularly have to watch that, I think.
In what way?
Well, I think it is because I think sometimes in butch femme dynamics there's a kind of commute from traditional sexism where the male, so the masculine, traditionally masculine person is controlling or has more privilege and abuses that privilege or something like that, and we don't want to commute that to our relationship. I mean, also we also brought to our wedding ceremony our sexual dynamic, which is that Shan is a top and I am a bottom, which were a dominant and I am a submissive. And that also is like a departure, I think, from reasonably traditional sexism. we didn't want to transplant that onto our relationship or onto our wedding. So I crawled alongside her for part of the walking up the aisle part, and that was symbolic of that. And after the ceremony, the celebrant said, "You may now pick up the queen," because I like to pick her up. So she rendered herself, I guess, vulnerable in that way as well. Vulnerability is really important to us, both of us, me as well. In terms of, I mean, I think that's a thing sometimes butchers sometimes get into, a kind of bravado or machismo, that thing. And I don't buy into that. I don't have enough energy. We did our own thing very much, and we wore what we wanted. I want to say on the record that I wore shorts for my wedding, and I felt really proud about that, because when I was growing up, I guess it's one of the things that my peers would point out as being wrong, was that I wore shorts and that made me like a boy and that's wrong. But I really find it liberating. I recently started wearing shorts again, and it's so liberating. I love it.
Fantastic. Well, the wedding is, I guess, the start of marriage.
Yeah.
So why marriage?
Yes, why marriage? For us, it's actually deeply personal. It's not, it wasn't like, shall we get married to acquire the status of a married couple? It's more like, I've felt like I'm in the lost and found for a certain portion of my life, and here's a person who's willing to claim me like an old hoodie and hold me up and say, this is mine. And that feels really good for me, just on a personal level. It's not, I mean, it's not about ownership, and that's a metaphor of ownership, but it's not about ownership in any other way. We have an open relationship, and it will stay that way until such a time as we change our minds about that, but it feels good. In fact, the idea of monogamy is very horrific to me. But anyway, like it would be like a cage, but that's just me, and I think it's Shan too. And for Shan, I think a similar thing, similarly very deeply personal, and she's had a sense of being an orphan, I think, at times as well, although she's got parents, obviously, and I've got parents, but just that sense of being alone in the world and then not being alone in the world when you find someone who you reckon you can spend long, long years with. And so we did that. It was healing. It felt good. And we know that we have our detractors, and some of them are still our friends. That's good in terms of actually getting married. And, you know, some of our detractors who don't believe in marriage were actually at the wedding, so that felt really good. Like Chris, my mentor in Sydney, came over for it, and she does thoroughly not believe in marriage. I don't think you do either, do you?
No, I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it? Did I answer the question? I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
Have things felt different since the wedding?
I guess there is something momentous in someone saying to you, I trust you so much that I want to spend, you know, you're saying I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I think we're both open to the notion of divorce. You dial Department of Internal Affairs and you push one for divorce. If this is a divorce situation, press one. If it's an inquiry about getting married, press two. Interestingly, divorce comes first. But yeah, it must be that must be that divorce is more urgent or something. So, you know, there's that. But our wish, I think, is to spend the rest of our lives together. And so occasionally, it really strikes me that just that fact that I'm that much trusted and I'm that much loved that whatever dark forests we go through, our intention is to find one another again. We've only been together a year and a half, and we've already had some strife earlier on, and we got through it, and we did so in a reasonably radically honest way, and that has been really emboldening to us, I think, as a coupling. Yeah.
Thanks, Greg. I think we'll finish it there. And cool. Can I just check, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I guess if you're listening and you're butch and you're like newly identified as butch, then I send you my solidarity. I send you love quite unashamedly, and I wish you all the best. Thanks for listening.